You know, the blessed thing about sharing your life with others, investing your life in others, is that you find people like Gene. He can outwit me, outspeak me, outtalk me, and outdo me in many, many other ways. But I have the privilege of having a ministry through Mr. Ward. Tom Phillips, who will follow me up here tonight, same way. He can read 4,000 words a minute, and when he came on board to help me, he gave me a new lease on life. I'd fake it, and he did it, just like that. And so it's great when you have people, and one of the things we ought to be doing is passing our lives on to others and reproducing ourselves and letting others take up I'm 78, and Gene, I haven't had that moment you're talking about too often, but... I like Psalm 92:14. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. The King James says, they shall be fat and flourishing. Now, I don't know if that means this way. I like the NIV. It says, they shall stay fresh and green. And that's my desire, to stay fresh and green. I enjoy very much. I'm on my pension now, but I'm busier than ever. I don't have to punch the time clock anymore, but I'm out doing what we're doing here. And it's a great opportunity and a wonderful privilege. And I thank you for letting me be here with all of you tonight. And I trust that it will be a time that God will speak. I know he can say more in 5 minutes than I can say in 5 hours. And this is always my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will be the one that does the teaching. We've got a book. We use Scripture. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but in the final analysis, it's got to be God speaking to you and doing the convicting and teaching and getting the commitment from you to do these things. You can listen and go away and forget everything you've heard in very short order. But thank the Lord for the privilege of being here, and we do pray that this will be a part of His great plan today. People are always asking, what's going to happen when Mr. Graham passes away? I said, God has a wonderful plan. He's raising laymen up all over the world to get out there and take their place in the trenches. Isn't that right? That's what this is all about. I believe God has many ways of getting the job done. And missionaries all over the world, they haven't quit their work either, have they? And so praise God for that. But I like this. These fellows can outwork me, outthink me, and a lot of other things. But the Bible says God has set the members, everyone in the body, as it has pleased Him. I'm not Gene Ward. I'm not a Tom Phillips. I'm me. And I like 1 Corinthians 1:26, 27, 28. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And so I thank God He could take me out of the oil fields of Pennsylvania, an old roughneck roustabout, had trouble speaking and saying things, and helped me get up before people and share the unsearchable riches of Christ with people all over the world. But it's His book. It's His Spirit that enables, and I'm just grateful for allowing me all these wonderful privileges through the years. I'm going to give you... We have what we call an S-B-O. You have to be careful how you put those letters together. Specific Behavioral Objective for every class. Number one is to do with the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. I'm going to just illustrate and then get into the book here in just a moment. Two dynamic weapons that Jesus Christ used against Satan when he was tempted, without which no one can adequately bring glory to God, please Him, or serve Him. Two dynamic weapons. In Luke 4 and Matthew 4, you have the temptation of Jesus. I like Luke's rendition. Verse 1, chapter 4, Jesus, being full of the Spirit, was led of the Spirit And 40 days he did hunger and ate nothing, and he was tempted of Satan. Verse 14, and Jesus went down in the power of the Spirit. Three times Satan asked him to do something. Each time, it is what? Written. And I'm sure that if Satan had asked him to do 100 things, he would have said, it is written. That's the only way to face him, by conviction out of the Word of God. Well, turn this stone to bread. He thought, I got him. He's vulnerable. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Got him up to a mountain, high place where he could see the world in a moment of time. He said, it's been given to me to give whomever I will if you'll bow down and worship me. And that's what he's getting people all over the world today to do. Church people, we're bowing down to him. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Took him up to the pinnacle. Jump off. The angels will hold you up. I can just see Satan licking his wounds, defeated, calling a conference of all of his demons from all over the world. Maybe they came to Glen Erie here. Beautiful spot, right? And he said, roll back the film. You know, after the Sunday football, and here's what happened. Every time I asked Jesus to do something, he hit me with Scripture, and the Scripture with the sword of the Spirit, and the Spirit just tore me to bits. This is my strategy. Make the Bible the best seller. I don't care how many Bibles people have. Flood the market. That's a problem today. Which Bible will I read? But don't let anyone get serious about Bible study, Scripture memory, or application. You won't find one person in a million or maybe 10 million memorizing Scripture today. Satan doesn't want us to. You know, when you get the Word in the heart, it's available 24 hours a day to the Holy Spirit to convict us, to guide us, to challenge us, motivate us, comfort us, whatever we need, isn't it? It's there 24 hours a day. Don't let anyone get serious about Bible study, Scripture memory, or application. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they become discouraged. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. So on. I believe if we could take Colossians 3 and memorize it, families would be knit together more. We wouldn't be running off to counselors and psychiatrists, that is, for help in our family. Satan has taken the book away from us. What do we do with the Holy Spirit? Let's get him over here. We can go to church for a year and not hear a message on the Holy Spirit, that wonderful, indwelling, innate, dormant power that lives within every one of us. Or over here where there's an overemphasis on the Spirit of God, perhaps. I would hope tonight all of you would agree that we need a good balance. Isn't that right? Good friend of mine, friend of Gene's and several here, Rock Bottomley, has a church here. It's called Pulpit Rock. His dad must have had a sense of humor. He named them Rock Bottomley. Rock led his dad to Christ. He was at the Air Force Academy. His father was Colonel Bottomley, that was court-martialed for going back over the line in Vietnam. Led him to Christ over the phone. And they got a film on his life now, don't they? Anyway, Rock preached a message not too long ago, and they sent me excerpts from it. He said, we need to issue our disciples every tool in the toolbox. He said, we're to be filled with the Spirit and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's not one or the other, either or. Filled with the Spirit and let the Word of God dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another and so on. And so, we need to get into the good book. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, we believe in that. Good. We'll take out this book here that has a lot of the good book in it. This is what we've been using. We've updated it from time to time. I hope we all have the same book tonight. Sometimes we've changed it and we have different pages. If I'm on one page and it doesn't agree with you, please shout out. Say, hey, it's 41 in mine. Don't tell me about it anyway. If you open it up, when we teach this class, and by the way, let me say this. I'm going to simulate teaching a class. You are my group tonight. You're my students. I'm going to assimilate what I do and what I would do and what you ought to do if you're going to teach. And my friend, you can use this book and nothing else to get the job done if you want to. I would like not to get too many slides or too many other things because you're just shifting around. I like to have the six-shooter at my side and boom, boom, boom with it. And when you got it there and you get acquainted with it and you know the scriptures, you can fire and fall back, as they used to tell us in the Army. Okay. We have one of these inside of every one of our books, My Heart, Christ Home by Bob Munger. I'd like to tell them, take it home, read it, and you ask yourself, is Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Then turn over, if you will, to page 56. Quickly. 56. We have several pages here by the late, well, we're taken from the book by the late Paul Little. Seven basic questions. Several pages. What about the heathen? Heathen, is Christ the only way? Why do the innocent suffer? See what he says about these things. That's a hard question. Turn to next page. How can miracles be possible? On over. Isn't the Bible full of errors? You've heard that many times. Isn't Christian experience only psychological? Won't a good moral life get me to heaven? And then we go on over to the next page, and we've got several pages of comparisons between Christians in the basics of the faith, Buddhists, Christian scientists, Hindus, Muslims, Unitarians, New Agers, several pages of resource material, books that you might want to look at and we would recommend and suggest. And on over a ways, and you're going to find attendance slips, and we ask each one in the class to hand in an attendance slip. And then in the very back, we have helps for problems in witnessing and objections and excuses. And this could be taken out of, read out, it's perforated and put in the flyleaf of your Bible, and it could be used almost immediately. Now, this gentleman doesn't have a book. You need a book. Let's get a course book to him. Anyone else without the yellow book? Anyone? Back there, we have another one. You don't want to be just not knowing what we're doing here. So, anyone else now without the book? Okay. Now, turn to page 2. Page 2. What is our aim in the course? And by the way, I want to try to do something tonight that's impossible. But as I said earlier, God can say more in 5 minutes than I can say in 5 hours. I'm going to put everything tonight within an hour. Normally, we'd use an hour and a half, but, you know, in golf, they say, let the club do the work, but we're going to let the Word do the work tonight and trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will be the one who does the teaching. And I want you to bow your heads again. Gene has prayed, but I always like to have the group join me. Bow your head. Right now, would you say quietly in your own heart, God, fill this room with your presence tonight. Say that quietly. God, speak to me tonight. God, help me to get a hold of the lesson tonight. Teach me more about the Holy Spirit tonight. And give me a greater desire for discipline in the Word of God tonight. Father, hear our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is our aim? Well, we're not going to go into detail here, but we want to help those who are in the classes in their daily walk, Colossians 2:6. We want to help them in their witness. That's why they've come to the class for the most part. Now, I want you to read out loud with me 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I'm convinced of this, that the more ready we are, the more opportunities we will have to share with others. Now, I'm going to say this next verse, but give you a little background. In Acts 8:35, this is Philip, an Ethiopian. And in Acts 6, It says in the King James, the apostles needed some more workers, so they said, we're going to put some laymen to work. Now, this is the criteria. We want them to be men of honest report. Their character, Gene was talking about character, really shows that they've got a walk with God. Honest report, filled with the Holy Spirit, and wisdom, put them to work. Philip was one of them. In Acts 8, there was a persecution and the disciples were scattered. Philip went to Samaria. He was having a great ministry in Samaria. And verse 26, the angel came along and said, get up to Gaza. Up he went. We don't know how, but maybe that was jet, whatever, many miles away. In the meantime, an Ethiopian nobleman was journeying from Ethiopia, it says, to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning in his chariot, reading Isaiah chapter 53. Here was a man who was led before the slaughter, dumb and opened not his mouth. And as soon as Philip arrived on the spot, the Spirit of God says, join his chariot. And he ran over. He heard him reading. He said, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, how can I except someone help me? And so Philip took that same scripture and he said, Mr. Ethiopian, or whatever he called him, he said, you know, this is talking about an event that just took place very short time ago. It was a prophecy of it. Jesus Christ went to the cross to bear your sin and my sin that we might know forgiveness and the promise of everlasting life and spend eternity with him. And the Ethiopian said, what has hindered me to be baptized? And Philip said, you can if you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And Philip was gone. You know, the thing that I like to get across in the class is this man was religious, but he was as lost as could be. I grew up in Sunday school and church. I knew scripture verses. I knew a lot about the Bible, but I did not know Jesus. Until later on, an evangelist came and preached, and I opened my life to him. And you find, we find every class we ever have, many come to Jesus, many get basic assurance, and many rededicate their lives to Christ. So the classes are really a time to do a work of renewal in the lives of many people. I asked one time, where do you suppose that man got Isaiah 53, and someone shouted, a Gideon gave it to him. That's a good answer, wasn't it? Right across the page, you have what we're going to use in our second hand. We're going to have two hands tonight, but look at that second paragraph. First, God's sovereignty worked out all the details. Second, Philip's life witnessed to Jesus Christ. Third, we find the Holy Spirit vitally involved in Philip's life and ministry. Fourth, you'll note that the important part scriptures play. And then fifth, the Bible is a record of God working mightily in and through the lives of ordinary people. Our responsibility is to step out in faith and trust in him. And that's where we all needed to get out over our head and step out, do things that we can't do, but God can help us do. I've been doing it for 50 years now and find that he's faithful. All right, now, the next, let's read that now. I'll read it. Read it with me, the C, counselor. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And that's our desire, to have counselors who talk to people when it's all over, to make sure they understand the claims of Christ, what it means to be born into the family of God. Then we have follow-up in our class, because we believe when a baby's born, needs feeding, protecting, and training, caring. And then revival. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Billy Graham has said many, many times, if I never went to a city and pastored, if Billy Graham never came, our church has already been blessed by our people. They're giving more, they're praying more, they're witnessing more. They're more faithful, and so we do see revival take place, and that's one of our goals and aims, getting people really stirred. And I would pray that this weekend, though you've been walking with God a long time, that God will say something to you that will stir you a little bit and make you more desirous of knowing God and the power of the resurrection. And I have them at that time, I have them stand and pray and ask God to really touch them. Then investment, and of course that's what this is all about. That's why I'm here tonight. I hope I'm making a good investment tonight. You fellas are listening, and I trust taking it in and saying, hey, you know, that's right. I can go out and touch lives by the very fact that I can get this book in their hands or whatever, teaching, get them to study, to memorize, and to apply the truth to their lives. God changes lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word. Okay, turn over then to page 4. And I've got to do this one in 15 minutes. Okay. You would think we're going to do some palm reading tonight. We've got two hands. It's not that easy, is it? This is out of the Navigator Ministry. Dawson Troutman, he came up with a lot of wonderful ideas how to get a grasp of the Bible. But you hear it, forget most of it. You read it, get a little more. You study it a little bit more. Memorize it a little bit more. Meditate on it. You hear, read, and study, and you begin to get a grasp. And so, in the little finger, they've already written mine in. I guess they figured that I would forget them or something. But put down the word here, if you will. Hear it. And out on the end of that, put down 5%. In education, they teach you forget 95% of what you hear. Let's read the scripture now. On page 5, out loud together. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You notice on the top of the page there, we have what to say. I've conducted surveys a couple of times in the past, and I've asked people, what is your greatest problem in witness? Okay, now this is falling apart. Is this the one that you're... Step on it or what? What's your biggest problem in witnessing? Two of them usually come up. Don't know what to say? Too timid, I'm afraid. Well, we're going to try and we're going to hit on both of them tonight and get started on them anyway. And so, what to say? We just read, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the ring finger. Then the second one is reading the Bible. Let's read that together now on page 5. It is to be with him, and he's to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. Someone shared something not too long ago that I thought was a blessing to me anyway. He said, every time you sit down with this book, you sit down with the author. Now, you can't say that about a lot of other books you read, but every time you sit down with this one, you sit down with the author. He wrote it. 2 Peter 1:20. Holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so he's there to teach us, to guide us, and to help us understand this good book. And we're to read it all the days of our life. You know, not just Sundays, but we ought to be in the book every day. Then we come to the study finger. Study finger. And we're going to read that. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to have you look at some words here, verbs. Down in the fourth line, the fourth word in, then the page 5, the third verse, the middle of the page, the word then appears. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Then you will understand. When? Well, look at the first few verses. My son, if you circle X, accept my words and circle store up my commands within you. Circle turning, underlying your ear to wisdom, and circle applying your heart to understanding. Circle applying, underline your heart to understanding. And if you circle call out for insight, and circle cry aloud for understanding. I believe what he's saying here is fervently, God, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of. You know, too often I think we read it out of duty or out of habit, and Well, I've done my reading today. I wonder if when we sit down, we're realizing we're sitting down in the presence of God to let God talk to us. Makes all the difference in the world if our hearts are open and receptive and wanting God to say something to us. And so cry out, cry aloud, lift up your voice, and then look for, circle, look for it as for silver, search for it as for a hidden treasure. Look and search. You have a lot of verbs there, and I believe if we really want to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, we've got to do more than just simply take a little devotional reading once in a while. We need to really get into the book. It's God's book with a message for us that can change our life day by day and moment by moment. Isn't that right? Now, turn to page 9. Page 9. We're on the study finger, and just about a quarter of the way down, confidence in God's sovereignty. The word confidence is taken from two words meaning with faith. In other words, we put our confidence in God when we, by faith, trust Him to meet our needs and to use us in His service. It is thrilling to see how God uses individuals, even though they are what? Inadequate. But I kid you not, I have been inadequate ever since I've been in the ministry. I grew up in a family of seventh of eight. Dad left home when I was 2, got very little education, went through high school setting pins in the bowling alley. Got no interest in the clubs. What's the matter with that? Funny, setting pins. That was back in the days when you had to step on a treadle and spikes came up. You're not the modern where you throw the ball in and they get up there somehow without having someone set them up. But I had no interest in school at all. Went to school to go to school, and went to work in the oil fields, Pennsylvania, roughneck. Got to roughing around with the guys, and I got so I many times couldn't express myself at all. And the worse I got, the more I hid from people and stayed away from them. And, you know, God put a vocabulary back in my mouth through scripture memory. Sure did. And anyway, let's, your concept of God affects everything you do. In your mind, who is God and what is your responsibility to Him? Right now, you write just a simple statement right on a page. Write it down. Who is God? And what is your responsibility to Him? What would you put down there for just a quick statement? Quick statement. Who is God? What is your responsibility to Him? I've got 2 reasons for doing this. Main reason is show you where the lesson is. And the one you're teaching, show them where the lesson is. You know, telling isn't teaching. Listening isn't learning. You learn to do by doing. There's the lesson. You've already written the first answer to the first question. Now, who would just for a demonstration, who would like to just quickly raise your hand? Tell me, what did you write down? Let's see a few hands quickly. Yes, sir. Okay. One others. Who else? Yes, sir. Okay, another hand was up back here. Where was that? Way back. Okay. You know, people like to be involved. Too often we do all the talking and don't even get them involved. We don't know what they're thinking. One of the best ways to get people involved is ask questions. Get them involved in discussion. Now, there's 6 verses there. First 3 have to do with 3 guys that have big excuses. Moses, I can't speak. Gideon, I'm too young. My family's least in Israel. And Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Read what God has to say to them to get them off the bench and into the game as promise keepers, okay? You bet. So, all right, now back to the... So encourage them to do their homework. They'll get very little out of it if they don't do their homework. One of the things that I don't like about having to go out and stuff down this in the people like we're doing here Friday night and all day Saturday, give me a 6-5 meals and you'll regurgitate a lot of it. I like to let teach them a class, give them a week to really get it into practice, memorize the scripture and so on. Okay, back to the hand. You read, hear, read, study, And then we come to the memory finger. And on the end of that, my friend, put down 100%. And I'd like to encourage all of you here tonight to think about memorizing Scripture, especially if you're going to teach. What's happening here, I think, is I'm stepping on a cord here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, huh? Well, we'll try not to step on it again. Okay. Let's read it together on a page, on the page 5 there, the 4th verse down. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Doss Trotman, who founded the Navigators, had a little B ration, and on the front cover it says, God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. And I think that's very true. Turn up now to the front of the book and look at the there's verses on two sides of the card there. The NIV's on the front and the King James on the back. And we're going to look at the two bottom verses. Man is sinful and sin has a penalty. And we've been challenging people for years and years and years. Memorize the title, memorize the verse and a location of it. And so here's the way we would get it. Man is sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now the only thing different than that in the King James is this is fall short, and King James says what? Come short. Then we move over to sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, instead of through Christ Jesus in the King James. But get people to memorize the Scripture, and that'll be one of the best things you can do for them. When I met the Navigators, they got me memorizing Scripture. My brother gave me a daily guide, had a verse a day, a thought a day, and a prayer a day. When I went into service, I started memorizing those Scriptures. And it gives you great confidence. And if you let God use the Scriptures in your life, it can certainly help you in your witness, character building, and going through tough times in a lot of other ways they can help you. So, man is sinful, sin has a penalty. Memorize it for next class. And next meeting we have the good news, Christ paid the penalty, salvation's a free gift. All right, so we hear it, we read it, and I'm about ready to... Let's look at this one together. Read it out loud with me. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I have seen that work in my own life and in countless lives. If people took God seriously and got into that good book, not just to read a little devotional passage, but to look at it, and to continue looking at it and doing what it says according to all that is written therein, day and night. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, that I walk around all day with a Bible in my hand. I could stumble, get run over by a car, and a lot of other things. Simply means give the good book a real place in your life. Like the athlete would exercise it. Let the book play a real role in the life. Now, that's the first hand. And the idea is what to say. And I believe if they memorize these verses and get started on them and do the rest of the lesson, won't be long before they're going to be, hey, you know, these tools you've given me, I believe I could share my faith. Now stand up for a moment as I introduce the next hand. The next hand of grasping God's hand. And by the way, look at this, friend. This is the average retention learning pyramid from the Bethel Laboratory in Maine. Look at here. Lecture, you retain 4-5%, reading 10, audio-visual 20, demonstration 30, discussion group 50, practice by doing 75, teach others immediately used to learning 90%. Put that to the test. Now, you go and teach others and see what it does for you, because you're going to have to bone up, get a good grip on it, and help others. So I pray that you will do that. Now, the other hand is grasping God's hand. A homely little illustration. You can sit down if you like. My brother, and you noticed on this one, friends, on this one, it's power to say it. I went into service 1941. My brother gave me a daily guide, a verse a day, a thought a day, and a prayer for every day. And one of the verses, Psalm 25, 4 and 5, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I got in the habit, 1941, of figuratively, 4 years in the service, of putting my hand in God's hand and bringing him right down into everything I was doing. And I had the most blessed years of experience with God during those 4 years. I do it to this day. I start every day, just like I did in the Army, bringing God into my life, and praise God for that. And then the hand idea of many of the verses in the booklet, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And David said in Psalm 63:8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand holds me. Whither can I go to escape from thee? If I go to the uttermost part of the earth, even there thy right hand holds me. And so God's hand in our life, and I sure want it, and I pray that you want more of it too in your life. It's simply, you say John had a hand in it, or Bill had it, simply means they had a part in it. God wants a part in everything that we do, doesn't he? Yeah. And I tell you, when he has a part in it, we're going to do it a lot better. And we're going to achieve a lot more when he helps us. Now, this time, and by the way, if you don't get anything else out of the lesson, and I pray that you'll have a new appreciation for the inner spirit, the spirit that dwells. Sovereignty, write it in there, if you will, right over Jeremiah. S-O-V-E-R-E-I-N-G, I probably have got S-O-V-E-R-N. You know what I mean anyway. Sovereignty. Okay. Sovereignty. I've just finished going through this book, good book here, and I've marked every reference from Genesis to Revelation on sovereignty. S-O-V. Now God, then God, but God, now the Lord. How he gets involved in every phase of our life, protective custody and provision and so on. And I'm putting together, I don't know how I'm going to use it, but it has really made God so much more real to me. His sovereign power working in our life. Let's read the scripture there together on page 7. Ah, Lord God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must circle go. Go and underline to everyone I send you. And circle say and underline whatever I command you. You know, that's all God wants us to do, is be God-led where we go and what we say. He doesn't expect us to go everywhere buttonholing people. Be led of God. And it's amazing how he leads us. And just like the Ethiopian and Philip, bringing together prepared hearts and so on. It's wonderful the way he works, isn't it? Then he goes on to say, do not be afraid of them. I like the King James. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I'll tell you, my early days going out to speak, and were 35 or 40 verses of Scripture with an and, if, and but in between. And I'd get on my Lord. I know that it's going to be hard. And you know the term of laid an egg, do you? Well, I could have gone in the poultry business, I'll tell you. I'm not kidding you. Laid an egg, but you know, that's your old pride a lot of times, saying, oh, man, you messed it up. Well, You know, God can use us regardless a lot of time. But anyway, do not be afraid of them. Underline, for I am with you and will rescue you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. You think he could do that for you tonight? Do you? Could he reach forth his hand? Not the big hand come down, but could he do that to you? Here's how it works, friends. Up in the margin of your page there, put John 14:26 and Matthew 10:20. When Jesus was, you know, John 14, the disciples were really down in the dumps, forlorn, and you name it. He was leaving them, but Jesus said, I am not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you another counselor, and he will be with you forever. This verse says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, shall teach you all things. He's our teacher. She'll teach you all things. And remind you of everything I've said unto you. He teaches and reminds. And what a blessed privilege we have of being taught by the Holy Spirit and reminded by the Holy Spirit. Some of you who do a lot of counseling and speaking, I think you know what I mean. You get into a situation sometimes, well, what am I going to say to this person? And boy, you just shoot up a lot of prayers, and wonderful how God will just bring a little story, an illustration, just the right verse as you need it. That's his work. Teach and remind. When Jesus was about ready to send out his disciples, he said, you're going to get in some pretty tough situations, but don't be worry about what you're going to say. And then this verse, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He speaks. He teaches, he reminds, and he speaks. Now, it's not like, you know, you open your mouth, this is God speaking. People look like you were a dunce or something. But when the Holy Spirit's working through the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the seed, and it's quick and powerful, that gives authority to it, doesn't it? And people can come under conviction, and people can be touched by God. And so, what a blessing. God's sovereign power. And as he brought the Philip and Ethiopian, we worked out all the details on it. Working through our life. Now, God can do many things powerfully. A few years ago, Mount St. Helens, where Tom lived for a long time. But God loves to take a little old nobody like you and me, doesn't he, Moose? And use us, right? You bet. And look at the verse there. Read it out loud with me. Second verse on the page. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good will. You know, you realize, friend, that do you realize that God's living in you tonight? The omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God lives in me and you. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 3:16, knowing you're not that your body is a temple of God. And I like John 14:23. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and I will love him and my Father, and I will come and make a home with you through obedience. God lives in us, and the more we honor him and the more we honor his word, the more God demonstrates that presence in our daily life. The question is tonight, what is God doing in your life? And secondly, what's he doing through your life? He's going to be doing very little through your life if he's not doing something in your life. Isn't that right? But it's God which works in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. I appreciate that. So, God's sovereign power, friends, manifests through our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read the next verse, middle of the page there. Do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Several years ago, someone gave me a little different word on that, at least way to use that. Don't be under the influence of wine, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Don't be controlled by wine, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. And for the Spirit to control our life, we have to surrender to it regularly, right? And it's not a once for all. And my friend, it's not an option. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that right? And when we are, let's look at some of the evidences in the palm of the hand. This is just some, and doesn't have anything to do with the gifts tonight, but number one, victory. And I'd like to encourage you, gentlemen, tonight to take King James, Galatians 5:16, and memorize it. This is what it says. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of you never have any trouble with the flesh? Could I see your hand? Yeah, I said never. I know. I always tell a person that does that, I'd like to see you afterward. I'm 78. I can still lust. I can get angry. I can be jealous, envious, mean, and a lot of other things. But I'm going to show you something in a moment that makes all the difference in the world in our life. So victory. If you like the NIV, it says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I like the idea of a walk. You know, the 25th verse of Galatians 5:16, I gave you, the 25th says, If we say that we live in the Spirit, let us also keep in step. It says, walk in the Spirit, King James, but the NIV says, keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what I start every day, and I have for years, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. We were out in the Bay Area in 1958, and I went down to do some editing on films that we took in one of our tours, and I got on the plane to go back up, and Bill Bright was on the flight. We sat together. And all the way back, Bill had just come out with his book, The Bird Book, on the Holy Spirit. And that's what he talked to me about all the way up to San Francisco. Holy Spirit. I wouldn't necessarily agree with exactly what he's got in the book about how to be filled, but tell you what, he got me thinking about it. I never had any trouble with the Trinity, but I never give any thought, really, to that indwelling potential. Undiscovered by most Christians, have no idea that he's there to teach us, to guide us, to empower us, to reveal the deep things of God to us, to seal us, and so many other things. And there's no way, as I said earlier, that you can really adequately please God or serve him without the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you say amen to that.
Amen.
No way. The next evidence is power. And Gene quoted Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I know three main reasons we don't have it. Number one, we're without Christ. Don't know him. Number two, there's sin in our life that's quenched and grieved the Spirit. And it's like, when that comes, it's like cutting the cord. Power's off. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Do you? Number three, we're absolutely ignorant of this wonderful person living within us. You know, we were in London, England in 54, and we were had overflows in Haringey Arena. There were about 2,000 or 3,000 outside listening by loudspeaker. And the first week, the crowd couldn't get in. And Friday night, we had nights of prayer all over London. They went, how can we get this message out? So team members, they set up prayer meetings in several different locations. I was sent to the Elephant and Castle area of London to Spurgeon's Tabernacle. It had been bombed out during the war, and they tarred the ground, and they were meeting in the basement. Bob Benninghoff, engineer for ABC, went along. He was sent over to record the ABC, the hour of decision every Sunday.
supposed to be 4 weeks, but it went for 12 weeks, but he stayed all the way through it. When we were on our knees praying, Bob Benninghoff was doing some doodling. He went down on Monday morning to the telephone, they call it the post in Britain, found out that all over Britain, every town, there were lines, landlines, that were dormant. They hadn't been used since the war. And he said, how can we activate them? Very simply, turn them on. And then on the end of the line, put an amplifier on it. We tested it out at the Trocket Theater in the Elephant and Castle area. I went down, Grady Wilson went down, and we heard Billy preach from Hearing Gate about 20 miles north. And when Billy gave the invitation, we turned it off, and Grady Wilson gave the invitation. People were coming for it. Immediately, we got letters out all over Britain, and we began to get requests. We want a landline. We want a landline. They were all over Britain. In fact, a delegation from Scotland came down. They were so moved by their landline, they said, we want you to come to Britain next year. Well, think of it. Here are these lines, dormant, none used. And what happened through prayer? We began to bring life back to them and people being touched by them. This is what we're hoping to do through our training program. Get people to where they're walking with God and the power of the Holy Spirit and not ashamed of bearing witness and so on. You'd agree with that, I know. That's our desire. Bring back to life that was in the state of declension. That's what revival means. And so, power. And then love. And I would encourage you to memorize Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, King James, temperance, NIV, self-control. And if you're looking at a guy that needs self-control, I was a roustabout in the oil fields. I was an army sergeant and went on to be a lieutenant. I could tell people where to go and help. And I kid you not, I hurt people right and left. The love of God. One of the most important things that we need to manifest to people is the love of God. And I can't do that. But the Spirit of God can help me do it. Is it all right? I was a navigator director for years. I had the Northwest area work, Washington and Oregon. They moved me to Texas to start the work. Monday, my wife comes to me in Texas after the birth of a third child, said, I can't stand another day with you. You're impossible to live with. Well, I knew hundreds of scripture verses. She's 8 years younger than I am. I thought, well, she'll grow up. Honestly, that was my attitude. I did nothing about it. And about 2 months afterwards, the navigators put me on probation. I just was not doing the work. Moose. And that put me on my knees. You know, you can know the Bible and be very hard to live with, friends. And I just pray that God will help all of us to realize we need the touch of God in our life every day. I've been using this passage out of 1 Samuel. You can write it down if you like. I'm going to move on here. But 1 Samuel 10, 6 and 9. Samuel went to anoint Saul as king of Israel. And verse 6 says, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. You're going to prophesy with others that are coming out of the mountain. And you're going to be turned into another person. And that's my prayer daily. I'll be turned into another person. This fleshy old oil field roughneck and roustabout, I've had enough of that old man. I want more of what Christ, through the Spirit of God, can do in my life to make me a person who reaches out by my life and by my caring and my love and to others. Not hurting people, but bringing healing into their life. And verse 9 says, and when Saul turned to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. He didn't pluck one out and put another in. He gave him a new mindset, a new agenda, a new purpose for living. No more of my own life, not living for myself, but living for Christ and living for others, reaching out to others. Holy Spirit, turn over. If we just spend a few minutes on a page, it kind of points out some of these
things that we need as we go along here. And look at that statement on the top of the page there and see if you'd agree with me. Top of the page. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the letter, friend. You can know hundreds of verses and be very critical and ornery, rambunctious, and a lot of other things. It's the Spirit that giveth life. Look at the paragraph. Legalism or living by the letter of the law is a cause of much division or contention within the church and among Christian families. Our selfish attitude drives people away from us and the Lord. It takes the love of God to bring unity and healing. And the Holy Spirit is the source of God's love, and He resides in every believer. Two basic human needs. Larry Crabb, a Christian psychologist, has written a book. He said he studied all of psychology. He said he's come up with two basic needs that every human needs, and you have them on the page here. A good self-image, they call it significance or unconditional love. Significance. You know, while my wife and was reading something from a Christian writer not too long ago, and the psychologist said, all humans, Christians, can be divided into two groups. Those who are affirmers and those who are evaluators. And I'm sure if we took a vote here tonight, most of you would fall into the camp with me. I evaluate a great deal. I don't affirm enough, and I'm ashamed of it. People need affirmation. They need to be loved, and unconditional love, affirmed, don't they? And a lot of people are hard to love, but God gives us that ability to love them and win them. And I could tell you some stories about 5 years. One daughter-in-law took 5 years to win her to Christ. And she finally statement said, I could not resist your love. Could not resist your love. And so let's get out of the ranks of the evaluator. Everything bad, that's negative, you know, to the affirmer. Then write it down, please. 4 D's. These are roadblocks. Roadblocks to relationships. Roadblocks to relationships. Number one, very demanding. Very demanding. We want people to be perfect. No allowance at all. We want them to be perfect. Very demanding. We can be very domineering, smothering people, and people need us the space. We can be very dogmatic. You know, I have all the answers. You know this statement. I don't confuse me with the facts. And a lot of people that way, aren't they? You can't get anywhere. They're talking. They never listen to you. You know any people like that? They never listen to you. You can make a statement and they don't even know what you're saying. They know where they're going. They know what they want. Very dogmatic. And this is the worst of all, demeaning. Demeaning. Putting down. My wife could do 9 things right and 1 wrong, and you know what I pointed out? What about that? I know you folks don't do that. I can see a halo over your head. You're so beautiful. You're great people, right? Absolutely. It's awful easy to put down, isn't it? And the Lord help us. You know, the Mormons have a promo on the television where we live, and at least he did for a while. Boy comes home with a report. Come on, I got 3 A's and 2 B's. He said, don't forget this. Well, don't slam the door like you usually do. And he throws the report card down and walks off. Never happy, never satisfied. And so, roadblocks to relationships. Then we come to two important don'ts. And I'm going to make a third one on there. Three important don'ts. Don't play God. Don't play God, you know. The only best thing we can do for our loved ones and others is pray for them, set a good example, and then watch God work. And I could tell you a lot of stories about that, letting God come down on the person instead of me going at him this way and giving it to him. Don't play God. And then don't major on minors, that is, on little minor things. We can make a mountain out of a molehill and spoil a testimony many times. My boy wanted long hair, and I said, cut your hair if you're going to live in my house. I drove a wedge between my boy and me. I was more concerned about what people thought than I was about relationships. And that's awful easy to do. And then the third is verbal abuse. Don't abuse verbally. And they can do that very easily. You know, you wouldn't strike your wife. You wouldn't strike, but boy, we can really badmouth and give them fits with our tongue. My wife told me one time, you have 7 different looks, and everyone's worse than the other. 7 looks. God's solution. Colossians 3:14 says, above all these things, put on love, for love binds everything together in perfect harmony. And if you had, I'd like you sometime to look up the 13th verse, for bearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, forgive, even as God forgave you, so do you. We could be very unforgiving and forbearing. And the thing that helped ruin me, my wife and I, Phillips, using a passage like this in Ephesians 4, used for the word forbearing, put up with one another because you love one another. Put up with one another because you love one another. And make allowances, another thing he said, make allowances for each other because you love one another. And that's what it comes down to. And then, so love binds. And then love covers. Peter says, have fervent love one for another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Love doesn't throw back. You deserve everything you get. I told you so. You made your bed, now you sleep in it. Don't you know that people like to hear that? Oh, they'll probably give you a kick or something. And then, you know, some of these people may turn out to be the president. We just put off like that. Then love's source. And there you have it again, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Turn the page for just a moment. One of the projects here, we're about finished, gentlemen, but the top of page 11, love, the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, some of you turned a lot of pages there. We're You been asleep? Huh? Covered. Love, the fruit of the Spirit, is clearly defined in the following passage. The effectiveness of our witness for Christ will be greatly determined by our love for others. And you'd agree with that, I'm sure. And then you have the real definition of love, which people, if they do their lesson, are going to have a good look at. Now let's finish off the hand here. We're about finished. I've got about 2 minutes according to my time, and maybe one, but we'll get finished here. How to live this Spirit-controlled life? Confess. 1 John 1:9. I hope you'll agree with me, gentlemen, that if I sin, walk in the flesh, if I walk in the flesh, I believe I've sinned, I've disobeyed, and I need to confess that. And I need to resurrender then to the Holy Spirit, and then practice, as this third verse is there, walking in the Spirit, keeping in step. When I get out of step by sin, I need to get back in step again with the Spirit. And I've started every day now since 1958 surrendering fresh and anew to the Holy Spirit. Here's a good illustration. There on the page, Psalm 37,
learning to walk one step at a time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, when our children begin to walk, we get on our knees and hands and knees, and we let them take a step from mom to pop and then back again, maybe two steps, he may fall, back up again. That's the way we learn to walk in the Spirit. One step at a time, and keep in step. And maybe here's the secret. The passage there, Acts 24:16, Paul's testimony, in hearing do I exercise myself to have always a conscience, write it down, always a conscience void of offense toward God and others. A clear conscience toward God and others. That's the way to put your head on your pillow tonight, friends. At peace with God through confession, and at peace with your fellow man through restitution or whatever else needs to get right. I can't stand being around people and not being one with them. I've got to find out, what did I do? I like to be in fellowship, don't you? And go to bed tonight that way, in fellowship with God. Last two, how does God manifest His sovereign power? He does it through our life. He does it by the Holy Spirit using Scripture. And it all comes about by faith. Write it in there. God's sovereign power manifest in your life and my life. The Holy Spirit gives us that dynamic using Scripture in our life to shape us. And it all comes about by faith. Let's read the last two verses now on page 7. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I'm going to suggest to you tonight, step out in faith. Maybe you need a right or wrong somewhere. I've had to do that. I had to go back to team members and family members and people to make things right with them besides going to God. Maybe you need to do that with someone. Get in over your head. You know, if you're equal to your day, you really don't need God. You know what I mean? It's when you get over your head that you have to look up and reach up. And God then enables us to do things that I can't do humanly. And so it's good to be over your head. And I'm challenging you to think seriously about what you've been hearing tonight, and we'll hear tomorrow what Gene said. Get out there with the idea, I'm going to go and multiply disciples. I'm going to teach people the good book and how to walk in the Spirit, where their lives can be effective for Jesus Christ, and do my part in getting the gospel out to all the world. Promise keepers, you have a wonderful opportunity to do that this year, don't you? May God help you to do that. Tom Phillips, the guy that I turned my title over to and who took over so well after I left, is here now heading up ISI, and he's going to tell you what I left out. And